Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, "When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But see, I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin, or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you're not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer and yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worship idols, or is abusive, or a drunkard, or cheats people. Don't even eat with such people. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. God will judge those on the outside, but as the scriptures say, you must remove the evil person from among you." Well, on today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we are discussing a topic that we as the church, well, we just seem to misunderstand it, misapply it, and the topic is judgment. And as we just read, Scripture tells us that we are to judge those inside the church, especially when they're sinning. We are not to judge or apply biblical principles to unbelievers. Jesus said in John 14, "If you love me, obey my commandments. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me." It's interesting because that word obey is better translated conform. If you love me, conform to my commandments. Well, on today's podcast, we'll discuss three things. Number one, why is sexual purity a church family matter and not a private personal decision? Number two, how people call themselves Christian, but yet they don't obey, they don't conform to the Lord Jesus Christ. And number three, how we limit and minimize the power of God. Today's show is titled, Judging Sexual Sin. Let's talk about, Peter, this idea of sexual purity. You write that the Apostle Paul, he saw sexual purity as a church family matter, not a private decision that affects only the individual. Can you say more?
Yeah, that is closely related to what we were just talking about, because once again, church leaders, because of the cultural pressure, can be tempted to back off on, as a number have, and I give some examples in the book, dealing with this and just pushing it off to the individual. But Paul won't let us do that. Many examples, but one is in 1 Corinthians 5, where he says, no, your job is not to judge those who are outside of the church. They're just basically, they're doing what non-Christians do. But your job is to judge those who claim to follow Christ and yet are obviously rejecting the lifestyle of the Bible. And he actually says it in 1 Corinthians 5:12, you know, judge those inside. Now, obviously, that isn't meant to give a license to be cruel or punitive or self-righteous in any way. And that's obvious if you read the whole context. But this idea that we just turn a blind eye to sin and in the name of the grace of God is a perverted view of grace.
Yeah, there seems to be just a constant theme that I keep thinking about here, Peter, and that is the two aspects of God's truth and God's love that's really manifested itself through grace. We talked about how Christians can be both, and yet we seem to be really good at going to one extreme or the other. Any other thoughts on how to engage this conversation? Any stories that you can share with us to lead with grace when it comes to this?
Yes. the key is obviously to have our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is full of grace and full of truth, and you're not choosing one or the other. He said in John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So he connects very closely, that link between grace and truth. And we have seen that play out in the body of Christ here, because as strugglers, whether gender dysphoria, wrestling with who they are as male or female, or same-sex attraction, and as they've confessed their struggle to their life group, and we have small groups in our church, mm-hmm. and as that group has walked through that struggle with them in community, you can see both the benefit for the struggler and for the others, because God, we're broken together and we're healed together. So I've seen many, many examples of, men in small groups, as they interact with someone who's struggling with same-sex attraction, who begin to see their own sexual brokenness, even though it may be very different from the guy who confessed to struggling with same-sex attraction. So in the end, I know I've learned a ton about friendship through walking through deep, hard struggles with those who battle with same-sex attraction. And so there's a mutual benefit for the body of Christ. It's not a threat. It actually can be part of all of our being transformed into the image of Christ. As we, as John says, we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we end up having fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us, but he does that in such surprising ways.
Right.
He teaches us, we have a group where a guy who was transitioning into a woman came to the group, and the group responded so beautifully, and one of the guys in there had been saved out of a gay lifestyle. He just looked at him and he said, listen, I understand what it's like to battle these things. And this is what we believe. And just told him compassionately but clearly, but we'll walk through this with you. And the whole group ended up growing together as they had to wrestle with some really hard things. How do you respond when the women break up? And the guy wants to go with the women for their time, those kind of questions. But I really believe the ministry is right in the middle of the mess. And it's when God does his biggest miracles.
It's amazing what God does with godly community. I love to hear those stories. How important is it, Peter, that people who are struggling with same-sex attraction get into a community and do what you just talked about, that story that you shared? Can people with this attraction or any type of sin, really, any type of habitual sin or anything that causes us to be ungodly, can we do it alone?
I don't think so, especially in this area, because it would be like an alcoholic, where the culture is screaming, alcoholism is good, trying to make it, alone.
Sure.
It's not going to happen, especially in this current climate where, because maybe 50 years ago, somebody, and I can tell you stories of people who did that, just slugged it out alone and tried to love their spouse well, even though they were battling with same-sex attraction. And I know stories like that. But it was a different world back then, because the message of the culture was a little more consistent, not the same, but more consistent with the Christian message. Today, that is not the case. And so we desperately need each other. And we're finding the earlier someone seeks help, the more chance they're going to really experience change. We just had a same-sex attraction forum a few weeks ago where a friend of mine who, you know, came out of the gay lifestyle is now married to an amazing woman. They just had their second child, and he was just sharing how, like, when he first came to Christ and came out of the lifestyle, he just couldn't imagine ever being attracted to a woman, nonetheless being married to a woman.
Wow.
Having any kind of sexual desire for a woman, like, that would have been impossible.
Right.
And he just said with tears, like, don't minimize the power of Christ. Now, that is not the story for every person. Like, there are some who have come out of the gay lifestyle that may be called to celibacy, but his point was, don't limit the power of Christ, because God has changed him. That doesn't mean he never struggles with same-sex attraction, just like those of us who battle with whatever, our thought lives or whatever attractions, are going to have to daily cry out for grace. But he genuinely is attracted to his wife sexually, and what he thought was impossible is now a reality.
Praise God. That is amazing. That really is amazing. And that provides hope, because that's what God is. He is a God of hope. That he, like you said, you use that word power. That's a capital P, isn't it, Peter? He's the one that has the power to actually change us. This behavioral model of therapy or whatever we want to call it does not have the power to actually change the core of who we are. Only God has the power to change us to our very core. The 12 steps can't do that. No recovery plan can do that. I mean, sure, some things will change us and change our behavior temporarily, but they don't have the power to deal with the wickedness that lies deep within our hearts. I mean, there's nothing on this planet that has that power to take away sin. And that's why the cure for our sexual brokenness is supernatural. The cure must transcend human knowledge and existence. The prophet Ezekiel, he wrote these words from the Lord God Almighty in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Again, the Lord writes through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 7, I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 3, I tell you the truth, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Nicodemus asked. How can an old man go back to his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but it's the Spirit who gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again, because the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Well, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation with pastor and author Peter Hubbard. We're looking at his book, Love into Light, The Gospel, The Homosexual, and the Church. And we'll be discussing what's happening in our culture right now with all the news and the exposure of so much sexual sin over the last few months. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. You can follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Purity Pastor. You can email me questions or comments about today's show at dustindaniels.org. And if this is something that you want your pastor, your minister, your priest to hear, please send it to him. Please send this to a friend. You can also rate the show. I would certainly appreciate that. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart. They're going to see God." Ah, walk worthy today, my friend, as you cling to Jesus, as he purifies your heart. One moment at a time, one day at a time, one choice at a time. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.